News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
The story dominating the headlines today, the FAI's appearance at the Oireachtas Committee yesterday. It went on for about 8 hours, but actually, really, all you needed to hear is this bit.
I am not in a position to answer any such questions here at this time. And in light of the recent Supreme Court hearing, a ruling in the Cairns case, I would ask that the committee respects this position. I am, as most of you would know, passionate about football and have always been.
Yeah, that look pretty much set the tone for the next 8 hours. Kieran, that Supreme Court judgment, you kind of feel that the Supreme Court went beyond its remit, or you certainly feel if the Oireachtas did what the Supreme Court did, judges would be pretty quick about pulling them up on it?
Yeah, the irony being that the Supreme Court was examining remit, exactly. Judge Chief Justice Frank Clark essentially deciding that an Oireachtas committee had acted outside its remit when questioning Angela Kearns, the CEO of Rehab. She was brought in on one pretense and they asked her questions about something else, is essentially what he found, and he said in his judgment that in circumstances like this, the court has concluded it would not be a breach of the separation of powers for the court to declare the actions of the PAC unlawful. At the time, I was astounded by this because I just thought that if it was happening the other way around, if a judge interpreted a piece of legislation and the Oireachtas said, actually, we think that's kind of straying into legislating what you're doing there, making the laws, we're going to decide that
the indignation.
That judgment doesn't count anymore. We're kind of getting rid of it. There would be blue bloody murder screamed from down in the forecourts, down in the Keys. They are the bishops of the 21st century. They are the prickliest cabal of people that we have in this country. God forbid any politician criticise them. Yet with that Supreme Court judgment, I felt they were slapping the wrists of politicians in this country, slapping the knuckles.
Yeah, can I also just say, and that's the point about the Supreme Court, it's been bugging me for the last number of weeks since this judgment as well, that the narrative that has developed since that judgment, that the Public Accounts Committee behaved disgracefully. Now, I'm not the biggest defender of the PAC. I think at times they have gone too far. But unlike most of the commentators who were calling them disgrace, I actually sat through the entire Angela Cairns hearing. And my recollection of it is Angela Cairns gave a disastrous performance that day. She didn't bring members of the board at a remuneration committee. She had, I thought, an air of kind of wounded innocence throughout. She was unable to answer many questions. I thought she was evasive throughout. And there were serious questions, let's not forget, to be asked about Rehab at the time and the running of Rehab. Questions that remained unanswered. I think we need to revisit this. I think committees at the moment, there is a freezing or chilling impact of that judgment. And I think we need to get the balance right. The balance is not right at the moment.
We had the legal expert and law professor Tom Hickey on the show a little earlier, and he said, look, actually they could have asked whatever they wanted. Kearns didn't really affect yesterday. But the point I was making, and look, he agreed to an extent, it's the fear of the wooden spoon as opposed to the wooden spoon.
Exactly,
as soon as it was
and
mentioned.
Maybe that'll calm down a little bit, but at the moment there is a problem. Look, let us know. 53106, do you think committees should be given more power? Do you think the Supreme Court was right to restrict them? Give us your view. 53106 for 30 cent, or tweet us at BreakfastNT.
Michael Healy-Ray, independent TD for Kerry, joins me on the line. Michael, we'll talk about John Delaney in just a moment, but what about that? Do you think you have enough power as a member of the PAC or of the Oireachtas Sports Committee?
Well, I suppose things have actually changed a lot in that recently chairpersons of Oireachtas committees were brought in and given a sort of an explanation of exactly what their powers were and are in light of the Supreme Court judgment. And I would feel that our chairman yesterday behaved in what I would call a very proper fashion, in that he stuck to the remit that he was entitled to use. There was a line of questioning. He adhered strictly to that. I actually thought if a person didn't understand what happened in the Cairns ruling, they would wonder why the chairman might have been what you would call holding back. But I believe all he was doing was his job properly.
Do you feel in a general sense that the current ruling has a kind of a muzzling effect, possibly, on committees?
Oh, God, yes, of course it has. Because, for instance, when a person is inside the Dáil, you know that when you're partaking in a debate, you know that there is immunity. Obviously, you're not to abuse it. And there's a proper and correct way to behave, and about naming people, you have to be very careful. But as such, there is the nearest thing you could call to full immunity when you're in the Dáil.
Yeah.
Now, the Oireachtas committees were the same up until that the Supreme Court ruling.
Okay.
So, yes, it has a restrictive
binding
on people. But
I want to talk to you, though, Michael, because I know this is why we asked you to come on the show, to talk about John Delaney, because, well, look, I was going to describe you as a lone voice. You weren't a lone voice. Others were. But you spoke particularly in support of John Delaney yesterday. Why?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. I don't believe in public lynching of anybody. And I don't know whether you saw the TV programme last night, where a certain news presenter acted in a totally outrageous fashion in insulting me on television because of the line that I took yesterday, which was that I highlighted the positive aspects of the work that John Delaney has undertaken over many,
well,
many years.
I should defend my colleague who you're referring to, and I'm sure he would say, well, maybe it was he was being a little bit outrageous, he's not shy of that, but that he was asking questions that probably a lot of people were asking.
Not at all. He didn't ask any questions last night. What he did was he acted like a bully in banging a table and shouting at a person you invite onto a programme. Now, I'll put it to you this way. He did that last night to me, but I don't think he'll do it to me or to anyone else ever again. Because there are ways you can behave, and I'll be expecting him to apologize later on during the day, but that's up to himself.
Yeah, well, look, that's a separate issue, and I'll let you, I'll let you and Ivan deal with that issue. In terms of John Delaney, you felt, as you were saying, that, look, this was turning into a public lynching and someone had to stand up in support. Was that it?
Yes, and I just believe that there's a thing called fairness. And, I mean, if you stand back from this, of course, I 100% believe in proper governance, proper accountability of money and what happens and what doesn't happen. But at the end of the day, like what John Delaney did was put money into something. He didn't take it out. Now, it might have been misguided in doing it in the way that he did and that it wasn't reported or accounted for properly as to what had actually happened. So, I mean, there might be questions to ask to answer there. But, I mean, to go forgetting about all the good work that John Delaney did, I just think that would be very, very unfair.
Okay.
And I believe in a reasoned, balanced approach to dealing with anybody, and I like to be fair and not to be joining a pack of wolves that go after somebody the minute they smell a bit of blood. I just don't agree with that. I don't like that.
Okay. Michael Healy, Michael Healy-Ray, Independent TD for Kerry. Michael, we appreciate you taking the call this morning.
Okay, let's go to David Duffy now, founder and CEO of the governance company. David, I'm sure watching proceedings yesterday, I mean, there's obvious governance issues here with the FAI. There's absolutely no question about that. The fact, for example, that the board, we now know, did not know about this bridging loan. Quite clearly, they should have known from the start.
Yeah, that'd be unusual, put it mildly. Sorry, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
That'd be unusual. It seems to me that they haven't even explained it well internally first, before they try to explain it externally. I mean, typically, a transaction like that would need to go before the full board so they're comfortable with it and approve it. There is a finance committee within the FAI of which John Delaney is part of, which would be unusual in other circumstances. But on the face of it, there's nothing wrong with the director lending money to an organisation. That's not illegal. One can only wonder why, and they have said it's a cash flow issue. Maybe yes, maybe no.
But nothing wrong, as you say, with a director lending money, but you do need to be upfront about it. It should have been told to the board. It should have been in the accounts.
It should have been approved by the board. It should have been a terms document, and it should have been a related party transaction in the accounts, which apparently it wasn't.
How serious would you, I mean, you're a governance expert, how serious would you put it on the scale of misgovernance? if that's the right word.
Well, as I said, there's nothing wrong lending an organisation money if it's a short cash flow issue. Probably not that high, I mean, quite honestly. It happens all the time in private companies. People lend money to private companies. But given the scale of the organisation, given its turnover, which is 40 to 50 million, given it relies on state funding, it just poses a question about its financial management.
Is there an argument, in your view, for the board sticking with John Delaney? We heard Michael Healy-Ray putting the case for that. Is there an argument for that, particularly given his contacts with UEFA, for example, his good position in UEFA?
I think there's a much more fundamental issue. I mean, I think yesterday the FAI committed near Harry Carey in public by not answering questions in the Oireachtas. They have a big brand issue here. Can they continue as a board? I don't think so. I don't think the position is tenable.
Of the board, not just John Delaney?
No, the whole board.
Do you think there needs to be a clear out on the
Absolutely.
Basis of that? They would say legally they were completely within their rights yesterday to not answer those questions. We heard from a legal expert earlier on, they were there voluntarily, but PR-wise, in terms of public image, you thought it was disastrous.
Not great. Not great. I mean, if I'm a sponsor of the FAI, you know, what would I take away from yesterday? Would I be renewing contracts going forward? There is the issue that he's very well got with UEFA and he's done very well there, and fair play to him. And he's got tournaments to Ireland. So there's a commercial issue here for the FAI as to what the future might hold for the board and who's on it.
A lot of people would, I think, instinctively agree with the point you made that, look, it's time to start again for a clear out. Are there any downsides to that? Are you losing a body of experience and a body of knowledge? Or at this point, are we gone beyond that point, do you think?
I think it needs to be balance struck. I mean, you need to retain some of the corporate memory. You can't push all the board outside the door at one go because you won't have the corporate memory. I mean, Scouting Ireland did it last October. They changed the board totally. They have a new one in place. And the department pulled funding to them, but they're now, as I understand, in a really good place, and they're kind of reconstituted as an organisation, and their reputation and brand has been enhanced as a result.
I didn't get the sense, David, our guest is David Duffy, founder and CEO of the governance company. I didn't get the sense yesterday, David, that the board realised that the game was up for them.
Not by the behaviour and not by the answers they've given. It's not up to me as to what they say in those fora, given their legal advice. I mean, they have to make their own judgment on that. But they also need to understand the consequences of how they portrayed themselves yesterday.
Okay. All right. David Duffy, founder and CEO of The Governance Company. Thanks indeed for coming into us this morning. Let's talk a little bit more about that Cairns judgment. We're joined by Tom Hickey, Assistant Professor in Constitutional Law at DCU. Tom, I'm wondering, are you tearing your hair out listening to myself and Kieran saying you don't understand actually what the Supreme Court said and what the legal implications of what they said are? What exactly did the Supreme Court decide? Just explain that to us first in relation to the Angela yeah. Cairns hearings.
Well, thanks, Shane, for having me on. No, I'm not tearing my hair out, and I'm sympathetic, I suppose, in a general sense to what you're saying. I've expressed disagreement with the judgment for reasons broadly along the lines that you're setting out there. However, I do think, well, first of all, I'm not so sure Kieran referred to the judiciary as a cabal. I think that's a little bit far, frankly. But I suppose the one point I'd make, Shane, at the outset is this, that the reason that John Delaney acted, or could act rather, as he did before the Oireachtas committee yesterday was not actually primarily because of the Angela Cairns judgment at all. It was because John Delaney was at the committee on a voluntary basis. As you know, Oireachtas committees in some contexts, you know, have certain powers under legislation to compel the attendance of witnesses. They exercise those powers in certain contexts. They didn't in this context. They didn't invoke those powers. He was there on a voluntary basis. And that meant in turn that he could, well, first of all, he could have left the committee at any moment had he wanted to. Of course, he would have lost face and so on. But I suppose the point is that it was for that reason that he could refuse to answer any questions.
And that goes
primarily
back to the referendum about compellability of witnesses then. And we voted no. I myself voted no in that referendum,
yes,
as I said earlier.
Well, Shane, yes. I mean, certainly the Angela Cairns judgment is very much related to the Abby Lara judgment. But actually, not so. I mean, this is governed by the Abby Lara episode was distinct, really, in the sense that what was proposed in that instance was, you know, that an inquiry would be carried out by an Oireachta subcommittee that could make findings of fact against individuals in a particular context, namely in the context where potentially individuals could be found to have unlawfully killed an individual. Right. The reason that Delaney was not compelled yesterday were separate from that, essentially. And it's governed by the Oireachtas Privileges Act 1997, as amended. And under the terms of that act, in the context of everything, this FAI episode, the relevant committee couldn't compel him, and therefore it's for that reason. Certainly, he cited Angela Kearns. There's no question, absolutely no question, but that the Angela Kearns judgment, as you've been saying, hovered menacingly, I would say, over the proceedings. You know, affected the atmosphere of the proceedings, affected the mindset of the politicians, and so on. But primarily, the reason he got away with acting as he did was not because of the Angela Kearns judgment. But
is there a need to revisit that judgment? And I'm curious. I said I wasn't a legal expert. You are a legal expert. Did you think the Supreme Court got that right?
I don't think they got it right. No. I think the judgment is brilliantly reasoned. I think that the conclusions they reach are very, very plausible as a matter of constitutional interpretation. Mm. I would have interpreted the Constitution differently. But certainly, as I say, it was a plausible interpretation. Do I think it needs to be revisited? Actually, when you drill down into the judgment, I mean, the headline conclusion of the Angela Kearns judgment, I mean, it's 92 pages, as I say, or 95 pages, and 40 of them matter as a matter of kind of interpretation of the Constitution and so on. Right, but the headline conclusion is, look, whereas previously the prevailing understanding of constitutional law was that Oireachtas committees had absolute immunity in these contexts. In fact, following this ruling, the judges effectively determined that that immunity is not absolute. Now, what's kind of perhaps lost somewhat in the kind of commentary, I suppose, is that to be fair to the judges, they insisted that the immunity that Oireachtas committees had was very, very, very significant indeed, very robust. It just wasn't quite absolute. And I suppose the point really is this, that Oireachtas committees, this particular Oireachtas committee yesterday, could certainly have been far more robust, forthright and so on than it was. It did not need to be anything nearly as meek as it appears to have been under the terms of the Angela Kearns judgment. So in a sense, you know, once the Angela Kearns judgment filters down into the minds of lawyers a little bit more, is considered in more depth, I suppose there is a second phase of the Angela Kearns judgment as well to come and so on. And over time, what you might see is Oireachtas members, as it were, finding their feet again and understanding that while they don't have absolute immunity, they have something close to it. And that you might find that it isn't as, its effect won't be as severe in time, perhaps, as it appears right now.
All right, Tom, thanks for joining us. Dr. Tom Hickey there, Assistant Professor in Constitutional Law at DCU.